and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, August 27th, 2014. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals, and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, we're going to be talking with Mark Harbison about a surprise Disneyland in a day trip. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So tell us a little bit about how this all started. You had a family trip scheduled to take to the American Southwest. When did you decide that you were going to add Disneyland to the itinerary?
Well, it wasn't till late in the game. We were kind of trying to plan out the itinerary, and it kind of grew in stages. Like, first we were just trying to figure out where we could go with a six-month-old
right,
and not be suicidal by the end. And combining that with trying to get out and see new parts of the country that my kids hadn't seen yet, that sort of thing.
Sure.
You know, which those are kind of competing interests, because our older kids have basically seen most of the East Coast, so we've got all the places that are easy to reach from us, for us coming from Delaware.
Right.
But then when you look at going out west, there's such longer distances in between everything that it's harder to do with a baby.
Sure. That is a challenge. So maybe we should talk a little bit about what the Southwest itinerary was, you know, before you even added Disney to the mix. So what did you end up with as sort of the core plan for the Southwest swing?
Well, we ended up starting by flying into Vegas, because when you think wholesome family vacation, you think Vegas.
You think Vegas, sure.
That ended up being the cheapest flights by far, so
okay.
we just went where the money led us. But then we looked at kind of running through the corners of Utah and Arizona to hit some of the national parks out there, Bryce Canyon, Zion, and then you can't get out there without seeing the Grand Canyon. So.
Sure.
My wife and I had actually honeymooned out there years ago, and so we thought it would be fun to go back to Phoenix and stay at the resort in Phoenix that we'd stayed at, you know, many years ago when we were a lot younger and I had more hair. And so that was the basic gist of the itinerary. And what we liked about it was that most of the driving legs were doable with the baby. You know, it'd be like 2 hours here, 3 hours there. It wasn't all day in a car.
Right.
So, it was kind of that compromise where we could take our older kids to see something new but still be manageable with the baby.
Right. Makes a lot of sense.
So then from there, being, you know, Disney geeks, we were kind of looking at it like, okay, well, we're already going to be most of the way towards California, you know, and we've never been to the original Disneyland. And so I started fooling around on Google Maps and discovered that Anaheim was about a five-hour drive from Phoenix.
Sure, and five's just really not that much more than three, right?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of on that borderline edge, like, do we try this?
It's not quite twice as long.
Right. So, you know, basically we're looking for any way to justify it that we possibly could.
Okay.
Because, you know, on the other hand of the equation, you're thinking, well, when are we ever going to get out there again?
Sure.
You know, it's 3,000 miles away. This might be our only chance. So we went back and forth. The other limiting factor was the cost of going.
Sure.
You know, because no matter how you slice it, Disney is not very cheap.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, this is the challenge that you always face, especially with a shorter trip, because with Disney, the value is often in the, you know, fifth, sixth day. And when you're trying to do this in a day, you know, you're paying the premium for a single day.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And looking at what we wanted to do, I mean, we didn't want to cut the Grand Canyon out of the trip in order to give ourselves more time at Disney.
Right.
So it was a compromise, and we basically thought even if we do it, we probably can only give ourselves a day out there.
Sure.
Before the money runs out. And so we hemmed and hawed and went back and forth and tried to justify the cost of the tickets out there. And then I kind of put it out to my friends in the Disney world, so to speak, and just saying, okay, is this really worth it? You know, what, you know, just asking for friends who'd been there before to say, is it worth the effort to try and get there even if we only have a day? Would
right.
be, would it be stupid, or would it be a waste of money because there's no way you can possibly see everything there?
Right.
And so that was where we had a little bit of pixie dust showered on us, in that one of my friends responded and said, go to Disneyland, I'll hook you up.
Nice.
So we're like, oh, okay. That, keep talking. I like where this is going. And basically, they had an arrangement, without going into the details.
Sure, sure.
Just they had an arrangement where they get so many free passes a year that they have to use up and give out to friends and family and whoever.
Okay.
And they were behind on their quota for the year and said, hey, we've got some passes that, you know, it's use them or lose them, and we'll give them to you if you can make it out there. It'll be a one-day park hopper. And
so, exactly what you needed.
Yeah. And so we were looking at that and said, well, if you're giving us free passes, now it's stupid not to go.
Because now it's saving money.
Exactly.
I mean, if you weren't doing Disneyland, you'd have to do something.
Right. You know, and prior to that, the end of the trip was going to be 2 days exploring Joshua Tree in the Mojave Desert, which really felt anticlimactic. Like, hey, look, kids, a sand dune. So you can only do that for so long.
Sure.
So, yeah, Disneyland appealed to us slightly more.
Sounds like it.
So we're like, okay, well, we'll try the 5 hours with the baby, and hopefully he'll hold up. But
right.
It was worth it.
So you essentially hit the road from Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we did stop at Joshua Tree National Park. It was about 3 hours or so from Phoenix. But we figured if we do that, then it breaks up the drive.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a perfect distance to stretch your legs and move around a bit anyway.
That was the idea. It kind of backfired on us. Joshua Tree turned out to be a little bit of a bust for us.
I see.
One problem was that the weather didn't cooperate. There's supposed to be a couple spots where you get a nice view of the mountains to the west,
right,
that separate the desert from the Pacific coast. And they were all socked in with clouds, so you couldn't see anything. There's one side road in the park that takes you to see an oasis that we thought would be neat to see. So we turned down that road, and half a mile down, it was closed, and there's barriers everywhere.
Oops.
So that didn't turn out. And then the main road in the park was
torn up. Sorry, folks, park closed.
Yeah. Moose out front should have told you. So then the main road into the park was all torn up. Of course, you know, the direction opposite of where we were going was fine, but in the direction we were going, it was dirt for 20 miles, which got really old really fast.
I bet.
So by the time we climbed to the higher elevations where you can actually see Joshua trees, we were done. You know, we were like, okay, look, there's a tree. Take a picture. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
And plus, we told the kids the day before, we had revealed the trip the day before.
Oh, so they knew that's where you were headed.
Not a single person in the car really wanted to be in Joshua Tree National Park at that point.
Yeah, they already had Mickey on the brain.
Yeah, yep. So it did break up the drive, I guess, but On the other hand, you could just say it delayed us from getting to where we wanted to go.
All right, so you get back on the road, you head to Anaheim, and are you staying there for a night? Are you checking into a hotel somewhere? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'll give credit to my wife, the bargain hunter. She found a Groupon deal that was offering, nights. I think it was like two nights in a Disneyland hotel, like one of the neighbor hotels, not
right, one of the good not neighbors.
And it was a better deal than what we could find online in terms of the rates they were offering. The only problem was it was through an agency, and they've said it'll be one of these resorts, and they pick it for you.
Ooh.
So, that's a bit of a roll of dice. But again, the price was right, so we figured, okay, well, there were certain ones to choose from, and we looked, and they were all along the main road. Right outside the gate. So we figured it'd be walking distance to the park and that would work out for us. So we went for the risk.
Okay.
And naturally they picked the hotel we probably wouldn't have picked.
Okay.
But we stayed at it was called the Castle Inn and Suites.
Okay.
And it's right on the corner of Harbor Boulevard and I think it's Catella Avenue.
Yeah.
It's a little bit south of the entrance gates.
Right.
Or do I have my directions right? Maybe west. I don't know.
Yeah, it should be because Harbor should be just I think, an east-west street that is just between the kind of row of hotels and Disneyland.
Yeah, so it'll be west of the gate.
Okay.
It's towards the ocean.
Okay.
So that's where they booked us, and we were hoping we'd get one of the other ones that had a free breakfast, but they gave us the one without the free breakfast.
Okay.
But that's what you get for, placing your life in someone else's hands, I guess.
Sure.
Honestly, when we first rolled up to it, we were a little questionable because it's modeled to look like a castle.
Right.
And we thought, it really takes a lot of guts to theme your hotel as a castle right outside Disney.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I guess they get points for that. But honestly, it worked out fine. All we asked for from a hotel is clean beds, clean rooms, a bathroom, a shower, toilet that works. And we got all that. So
it was hard to complain.
Yeah. Disney, how much time you're going to spend in your hotel room.
So. Right, right. Now, but I assume that given that you had a long travel day and you only had one day at Disneyland, were you going to head straight over to the parks or was that for the next morning?
That was for the next morning. So the next day would have been our full day there.
All right. So do you do anything with that evening, when you finally arrived at in Anaheim?
Yeah, we heard the siren call of Disney, so, we checked in and unloaded our bags and then walked, I think it was about a block and a half, to the gates. And I got to admit, it was pretty cool to just be able to walk to Disney property, because you don't usually get that chance, in Florida.
Sure.
And we headed straight to downtown Disney, which kind of bisects the two theme parks there in Anaheim. We had dinner there. We went to Tortilla Joe's, the Mexican place, enjoyed that, and then just wandered the shops. So we were just trying to get that little bit of Disney flavor in our heads before the next day.
Sure. A little warm-up.
Yeah. So we walked through the security check, and immediately, my wife turns to me. We hear the soundtrack coming in from the speakers everywhere, and they're playing Disney songs and all. And my wife is like, oh, I'm feeling it. I think Disney knows that life is better with a soundtrack.
Yes, absolutely. So
it's that the music really adds a lot. So that was just our little warm-up, was wandering shops, and
right. So tell me a little bit more about Tortilla Joe's, because, we haven't talked much about Disneyland, downtown Disney area restaurants on the show before. So I know it's one of the more popular, casual restaurants there in downtown Disney. What can you tell me about it?
Well, we chose it because my wife and my daughter had actually been there before. They had gone to the Rose Bowl a couple years ago, and they had gone with my parents and somehow, you know, snowed them and visiting downtown Disney just to get a little Disney fix on that trip. And so they ended up eating there, and they came back raving about it, saying it was really good. So we said, okay, well, we'll go back there just to make my daughter happy.
Sure.
And it was very good. Some dishes are better than others there. I'd say the beef was the star of the show. Anything you could get with shredded beef in it. I'm kind of blanking on what I ordered. I think I had an enchilada that had a lot of beef that was really good. Mm-hmm. They had a pork tamale that I also tried. You could combine plates, you know, and just kind of do a little sampler and try different things. And the beef definitely beat the pork there. So beef tacos were really good. I stole my son's when he didn't finish his plate. So.
and that's why we order for the children, really.
Exactly. I would definitely give it a recommendation. You know, it's nice to break things up on a trip. Eventually, you get even I get sick of burgers right. After a while.
Sure.
And so it's nice to do something different. And they had some pretty quality dishes there.
Terrific. All right. So you head back to the Castle Inn. I'm sure you had a wonderful, restful night's sleep.
Absolutely.
When everybody in the room is ready to hit mm-hmm. Disneyland running the next morning.
And you've got a 6-month-old who hates sleeping, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That goes well. So we're on pure adrenaline at that point.
And you'd been on the road at this point for, what, 2 weeks?
Almost. So probably 9 or 10 days at that point.
Okay. So I assume you were ready to hit the pavement at Rope Drop?
Pretty much. Yep. That was the plan. We tried to go to bed a little early, and I don't think we had too much trouble sleeping just because we'd pretty much run ourselves ragged for the previous 9 days. So we did okay from that point, but we were all up early, and the park opening was at 8 o'clock. They had an extra morning hour for Disney resort guests at California Adventure that morning.
Okay.
So we were already a little behind on California Adventure, knowing that the Disney resort guests had been there for an hour starting at 7.
Sure.
So what we did was we tried to get there as early as we could, and I think we got there probably about 7:15 a.m., and that was so I could get to the window and pick up my passes and then get in line, you know, hoping that they'd kind of let us in a little bit before 8. You could, you know, beat right. whatever crowds we could.
Yeah.
Our plan was to go to California Adventure first, and the reason for that was due to Cars Land and Radiator Springs Racers.
Right, right.
That's still the popular one. Knowing that there were already people in the parks for an hour meant that the line we knew was probably already going to be bad at Radiator Springs Racers, so I really wanted to get to the Fast Pass as early as I could.
Right.
So that was the strategy there.
And how'd that plan go?
We did okay. We got in. They kind of do the same thing that they do at the other parks, where they have their little soft opening. They start letting you in about 7:30, 7:35, and you kind of walk in down the main drag to a certain point where they stop you and hold you behind the rope.
Okay.
Just to make you feel like you're making progress, I guess. So I was probably about 6 rows back from the rope, and I'd done my homework and knew to try and stay on the left side if I wanted fast passes.
Right.
And interestingly, up ahead, I could see them forming a separate line for fast passes for the people who had already been in for the early entry.
Right, because the fast pass machines aren't on right away.
Right, right, which I was kind of annoyed by because I was like, you've already been here an hour. You should be in the ride and riding. Get out of the line, you know?
Let me get my fast pass, darn it.
Stupid Disney guests. So, but it worked out okay. Once they hit 8 o'clock, they led us, you know, in orderly fashion or as orderly as they could to the fast pass machine. And it really didn't take me too long to get through. I'd say by the time I got through, my ticket was to return somewhere around 9:45-ish, 10 o'clock, somewhere in that range.
Well, that's not bad at all.
So it wasn't bad at all.
Okay.
And my wife took the kids and walked all the way to the back of the park to where Toy Story Mania was, and they rode that while I was getting the fast passes. So
okay.
I figured I'd already seen it in Florida, so I didn't have to ride that one.
This is true.
So, yeah, we just basically spent our time in California Adventure just trying to ride a few rides there before our Fast Pass came due.
Okay, so that was the question. So you were just kind of trying to burn some time, mm-hmm. you know, on other attractions in California Adventure until Radiator Springs was ready. Anything, you know, before we get to Radiator Springs, anything else in the morning that you rode stand out to you?
I'd say we enjoyed it. I don't think it was anything new. Originally, our plan was to try and concentrate, because we only had one day, on trying to get to the things that were either not available in Florida or slightly different from rides we'd seen in Florida.
Sure.
So we wanted to concentrate on that. But also, you know, when you're a parent, you're kind of bowing to your kids' wishes in these parks a lot of times.
Sure, sure. And you had some younger ones with you to juggle there.
Right. And so they're starting to request all their old favorites, whether they're different from Florida or not.
Right, right.
We rode the Little Mermaid ride, which I think is the same as in Florida, but we had never seen it.
Oh, okay.
We haven't been there since they added it to Disney World. So that was new to us. We enjoyed that. My daughter really wanted to ride Soarin'. It's one of her favorite rides, so I took her to that. My one son does not like Soarin'. He doesn't enjoy it, so we split up, and I took my daughter and one son to Soarin', which is the same ride, but it's a different building and queue, so for whatever that's worth.
Was the film in better shape, at least?
No, I think it's about the same. You can see some marks on the screen and that sort of thing, but I don't know. I'm in Disney World. I tend to overlook that kind of stuff and just
right.
enjoy the ride.
Okay.
My wife took my other son and the baby to the Monsters Incorporated ride to try okay. that out, because they don't have that one in
yeah.
Florida. And they really seemed to enjoy that. They thought it was well done. It's just a, you know, a dark ride.
Right.
Themed on Monsters Incorporated, but I ended up not getting to see it, but I know that they enjoyed that very much.
Okay. And then, you know, these were the things leading up to Radiator Springs. So you go back and, tell me about Radiator Springs Racers, because that's the one that's supposed to be, you know, the big signature attraction of DCA, the new Disney California Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Was it all it was cracked up to be?
Yeah, I think it was. I'll tell you, Cars Land was... I thought the Imagineers hit a home run with Cars Land. It looks exactly like Radiator Springs in the movie. Every building is exactly where you'd expect it to be. It looks like they just dropped it from the movie set into Disneyland. And it was just really cool walking down the street and seeing these buildings life-size.
Sure.
So the build-up to the ride is great. The ride itself, I thought, was really well done. I'll take special note that when you have a baby, your other kids make out like bandits because you're doing the child swap.
Right, right.
Which means they get to go twice.
Yep.
So my wife took the first ride. She took the older kids, and I hung back with the baby. And then, of course, you know, I'm sitting there waiting, just watching all these cars whiz by. And getting irritated that I'm not one of them. But then they come out the ride, and I see them walking out the exit line, and my wife just flashes me the thumbs up, and the kids are doing that, you know, excited half walk, half skip thing they do when they're when they're having a sugar rush.
Right, right.
And so I was like, okay, this one's a hit. And they came back and said, oh, it's awesome, it's great, you're going to love it. So I was like, okay, you know. Well, let's get on this thing as fast as possible. I think we kind of bypassed most of the queue because we had the fast pass. So
sure.
I didn't get to revel in all the details. It looked to me like there were a lot of details to enjoy if you're into that sort of thing. That's one of the things the Imagineers do best at Disney, is fill every corner of the screen.
Right.
And So I do regret that I didn't have the time to go through the main line, but you know, there's just, I think it was signed at 40 minutes when I got there in the morning, which isn't terrible for that ride. But it just got worse throughout the day. And there was, just with one day, there was no way I was going to stand in the standby line.
Right, to go back a second time, yeah.
So I didn't get to see that. But the ride itself is really well done. They pick, it's kind of a combination of a dark ride with Test Track. They pull all sorts of details out of the movie, which are really well done. They incorporate just about every character from the movie. They've got all got their little moment to shine. It's just it's a lot of details like that. And then you get to the race. I don't think it quite goes as fast as Test Track in Florida.
Okay.
But it still felt fast enough. And you've got the added element that you're racing the car next to you. So you can make all sorts of rude gestures to them the countdown line and all if you want.
Sure.
That adds a lot of fun that there's somebody else racing next to you because, you know, your competitive spirit gets going, even though you have absolutely no
control whatsoever. Yep. Yeah.
But between the details and the characters in the ride, the effects that they're using to bring the characters to life, and then the race and the outside, I think it's really well done. So certainly worth the visit just to go see that and see what they did with it.
It's great to hear. You know, I'm just inside. I'm about 60 days out from my trip. So I'm the days are, you know, it's starting to feel imminent now.
Yeah. And you're watching the second hand at work and it seems to be going at, you know, quarter speed.
Exactly. all right. So you've gotten in essentially two rides for the family on Radiator Springs Racers
right.
by what, 10:30, 11 o'clock?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It was, I'd say probably about 10:30 or so.
Okay. At that point, were you going to explore some more California Adventure, or having conquered Radiator Springs, are you headed across the Esplanade?
We headed for Disneyland at that point.
Okay.
Because, again, our feeling was we're only there for a day, and Disneyland Park was the first, the original, that spawned everything else that we've seen. So we wanted to try and spend most of our time there if we could. And I think looking at the list of rides, it also had the most rides that appealed to us, the ones
sure.
we wanted to get to. So, you know, we having conquered Cars Land, we wanted to get across and see the original park at that point. So,
okay. So talk to me a little bit about, did you have specific goals for Disneyland set out, or was it just a matter of, you know, we'll fit in what we can?
A little of both. You know, we tried to plan out ahead of time, you know, looking at, we said, okay, what's there that we can't see in Florida? And so that was basically the Matterhorn and the Indiana Jones ride.
Okay.
And so we said, okay, those we want to hit and try and make sure we see. And then after that, we said, okay, you know, there's some other rides there that are not in Florida, like, you know, the Storybook Land Canal and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And looking at that, I couldn't generate a whole lot of interest in my kids. They kind of wanted to do the big headline adventures more, which I can't really blame them for. So it was a matter of just trying to pick and choose what we wanted to see, and that was, you know, those two, Indiana Jones and Matterhorn.
Right,
and then
right.
looking at some of the old favorites, we were trying to figure out, okay, well, which ones are slightly different than the ones in Florida? And so we generated our list there of, you know, the Haunted Mansion has a different building. Pirates of the Caribbean was supposed to be different. Space Mountain is different. Thunder Mountain had recently been updated with new effects in Disneyland. And so we put them on the list. And I was trying to think if there's anything else. I'm doing this from memory, so I might be blanking on a couple there.
Okay. Well, let's just kind of focus on ones that really stood out to you.
Mm-hmm.
What things jump out? Thinking back now to your summer trip,
mm-hmm.
you know, which ones are kind of stuck in your mind as particularly unique or memories that stand out?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, that no plan survives first contact with the enemy. So things didn't go exactly the way that we wanted them to for the day. Okay. First of all, the park was packed, or at least it felt packed. I had tried to look at wait times going into the week, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how bad are crowds this summer? I had heard that you should avoid weekends there because all the annual pass holders come during the weekend.
Right, right.
So, you know, we tried for a Monday. And I don't know if it was just a particularly busy week or what, but Disneyland Park just felt very crowded. And by the time we got there, you know, say between 10:30 to 11 in the morning, it looked like most of the wait times on the rides were 40 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. And that wasn't quite what we were expecting.
Right.
So we had to scramble a bit just to get on different rides and try and make judicious use of fast passes. The other problem was the kids really wanted to try and ride the Matterhorn. So we went for that, and it's not a fast pass ride.
You're
stuck in the standby line there. And that was a 40-minute wait when we got there. So, again, I think I took one for the team and took the baby, and my wife got in line with the other kids. Well, after about 15, 20 minutes of waiting, the ride broke down.
Oh, no.
You know, and they made the announcement like, oh, it'll be 45 minutes to an hour before it's running again. So we're like, oh, great. So we scrambled a bit. You know, I was trying to do the fast pass strategy, and I probably made some mistakes here and there. But I'd say of what we did, the Haunted Mansion, I think the ride itself is basically the same as Florida from what I remember. The experience of getting up there was a little different, though. It was kind of cool that you basically walk in right through the front door of the mansion to go
right,
into the ride.
Right. Instead of at Disney World, it feels like you're kind of going around the side.
Right. Yeah, or going in the basement or something. You walk right in the front door, which I thought was pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the stretching room actually is an elevator there. So you could feel a slight tremor as it starts moving.
Which is, you know, always comforting in Southern California.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. So it was worth doing just to see the building and kind of know that that was one of the originals, you know. We managed to get on Pirates of the Caribbean, and I would definitely recommend doing that in Disneyland. It was a very different experience from Florida. You go in through – you basically start in the New Orleans Bayou, which is much different from Florida's experience.
Right,
and you're floating by the people in the restaurant at the Blue Bayou. So it gradually transitions you to the Pirates world. There are two drops on that ride in the dark, which my kids were thrilled about. They loved it. They said instantly that made it better.
Right.
And it's actually, I think, a longer ride. It felt like there were more rooms to go through and more scenes.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
So it was a fuller experience, I'd say, than Florida. So that was definitely worth it. Okay. Thunder Mountain Railroad, the new effects are pretty awesome. I don't know if I should spoil it or not, but They basically changed the one room in the end where, you know, when you get into the tunnel where the rocks are shaking.
Right.
And that was always kind of a cheesy effect. They changed that completely, and it's so much better.
Okay.
And it's a little bit more explosive, I'll say.
So. I will look forward to the punny experience.
Yeah, that was cool. So, and again, my kids got to ride it twice with the child swap, so they were just loving life. Although I can say, the child swap, I learned, actually does slow you down because your kids are getting on the ride twice. You're basically waiting through that fast pass line twice every time you go to a ride.
Right.
So normally your whole family would get on, you'd do the ride, and you leave and go on to the next one. When you're doing every ride twice, you lose time that way, which I hadn't really thought about or counted on.
Yeah, you get the kids at least get more total rides, but only because they're doubled.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
So that was, I think, one of the hidden factors that caused us to lose some time throughout the day. I think at some point we managed to get on Star Tours, which is the exact same ride as Florida. But we managed to get a fast pass that had a pretty quick return time. So we figured, okay, we might as well fit a ride in. I think that was about when the Matterhorn broke down and we were scrambling for something to do. You know, it was either that or get a fast pass for Space Mountain that had a return time for like, you know, a few hours ahead. So
right.
We were just trying to strategize there. So we did lose some time on Star Tours. And I've now ridden it 4 times. I've never gotten the Darth Vader scene in the beginning. And I'm pretty upset about that because everybody says it's really cool. And naturally, the second time my kids went with my wife, of course, they got the Darth Vader scene. And they were only too happy to announce that.
Okay. And you still haven't seen that one?
No. We did take a lunch break. We ate at the Plaza Inn on Main Street, which I think is one of the originals, one of the restaurants where Walt used to eat. Uh-huh. And apparently one of his favorite dishes was the fried chicken there, so we ordered that. I had read on the boards that it was one of the most popular counter service dishes, and I can definitely recommend that. It was very good.
Good to know.
So we'd go for that. Other rides, we did Space Mountain at one point in the afternoon, and that was definitely a different experience from Florida as well. You can ride 2x2 there, so it's a little bit more fun, I think, having a buddy, or in my case, a nervous kid, but either way.
Either works.
Yeah, you know, there's a soundtrack that plays along with your ride there.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the canned music that they have playing in the background in Florida. It's an actual ride or it's actual composition that was written exactly to time with the ride. And it was done by a movie composer, Michael Giacchino, who worked on several Pixar films.
Right.
He's one of the best in the business. And that was really cool. I liked that a lot better than Florida. The ride itself was smoother, and we all thought that it felt a lot faster in California.
Interesting.
So it just felt like it was carrying a lot of speed. And, of course, that means we all loved it. That was a lot of fun. So I would definitely say Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain, and Pirates of the Caribbean, from what we saw, get a thumbs up there over Florida.
All right.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we did. We did the Matterhorn kind of – every time we tried to go back, it was a 60-minute wait, you know, and without a fast pass. So we kept skipping that and hoping we could get back to it.
Right.
I had forgotten to mention, when we left California Adventure, I saw that they were still giving fast passes for Radiator Springs Racers.
Okay.
And the return time was something about 7:30 in the evening or 7 o'clock, somewhere around there. And I figured, well, if they're still giving them, we might want to come back. The kids loved it, so I grabbed more for that. So we had a ticking clock.
Ah, okay. So you did have to go back across because you grabbed a fast pass to go.
Yes, exactly. And I'd also grabbed fast passes for the World of Color show at night because, again, that was something that we can't see in Florida. So we wanted to experience that. So we definitely had that ticking clock limiting our time in Disneyland. I pulled – as we were leaving, we ate dinner at Café Orleans. We had to have the Monte Cristo sandwich there.
Oh, I mean, really interested in hearing this review because I'm about to make a reservation for Café Orleans in the next day or two. So.
Oh, well, if you like a Monte Cristo, go for it. We loved it.
Okay.
It's basically a deep-fried ham, turkey, and cheese sandwich with powdered sugar and jelly. So I think it hits all the food groups.
All the important ones, at least.
The only thing it's missing is bacon. And it probably took, 8 years off my life. I take that back. I split it with my wife, so probably only 4 years.
Well, there you go. You didn't want those other 4 anyway.
You know, it was probably 4 years in a nursing home.
There you go.
So I think that's a win. We got that. We got an order of... what do they call them? Pommes frites? I don't know how you pronounce it.
French fries.
It's basically French fries, but if you write it in French, you can charge $8 for them.
Oh, that explains it.
So they were okay. A lot of people rave about them. My wife loved them. They were very garlicky, so I thought they were a little too garlicky for my taste, but she loved them. So I think it depends on your tolerance for garlic.
Okay, makes sense.
But that's an appetizer. So we ordered one of those to split and one of the sandwiches to split between us, and it was more than enough food to satisfy us.
Okay.
But I would definitely give the rave to the Monte Cristo. That was very good.
Excellent. Good to know. Looking forward to that one. My kids are huge beignet fans, and when I saw that they had Mickey Head beignets on the dessert portion of the menu, that alone was enough to move it to the top of the list of possibilities.
Yes. And we did actually get those for dessert. I forgot about that. And
okay.
Those were very good as well. So
good.
Two thumbs up on the beignets.
Excellent. Whereas my children refer to them beignets.
Maybe they should change the official pronunciation. I think they're on to something. So from there, we were kind of looking at the time, thinking, okay, we got to get back for Radiator Springs Racers. So on the way, I tried to grab a fast pass for Indiana Jones. And that had a return time of about 7:50 p.m. So I was kind of cutting it close. But again, it was one where every time we walked by, the wait time was 45 to 60 minutes. And the fast pass kept pushing you further and further out in the evening. So
sure.
I took my shot there to get my fast pass.
Okay, so wait, let's set the stage.
Okay.
Because I see the dash you've now set up for yourself.
Yes.
You've got 7:30 at Radiator Springs Racers.
Right.
7:50 or so at Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Probably about 9 o'clock at World of Color?
Right. It was, when was the World of Color show? I think 9:45 at night.
Oh, okay. So you had a little bit more time to get back across the World of Color.
But they tell you to line up an hour ahead of time.
Right. Okay, so an 8:45 target at World of Color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
how'd that go for you?
Well, we found it takes about 20 minutes walking between parks to get, you know, all the way back to Radiator Springs Racers.
Okay.
Part of that was having to dodge the, whatever the parade's called, Celebrate Vague Achievements or whatever they call it, you know. So we had to duck through the crowds all jammed on the sidewalks to get out of Disneyland, and that cost us a little bit of time.
Okay.
And I think we finally got to Radiator Springs Racers with probably just a few minutes to spare on our fast pass, you know, maybe 7:20, 7:25, somewhere in that range. But we managed to get up to the head of the line so they could see we had the fast pass and do the child swap, et cetera, et cetera. So I went in this time. My wife said, okay, you go first this time. So I went in with the kids and we went through the line, and we didn't quite make it as far towards the front as we had in the morning. So I was starting to think, uh-oh, this is not looking good. We ended up getting through, I don't know if it took us, maybe 15 minutes or so. Maybe not quite that long. I'm probably doing the math wrong on the time because, you know, it's fuzzy in my head. But I remember we got off the ride and then I came rushing back, grabbed the baby. My wife got the kids. You know, I let her get on, go, you know, ride as fast as you can. So they went in the fast pass line, and I was just watching the clock tick by. And still they weren't coming out. We're getting closer and closer to that end time on the Indiana Jones fast pass. And at some point, they started walking up the exit line. I looked at my watch, and I was like, I'm not going to make it.
Oh, no.
So I think by the time, however the timing worked out, and again,
this is the doubling attraction time issue.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Again.
Exactly. The child swap killed us there because I think we could have made it with just the one ride. But by the time they got out, I had about maybe 10 minutes to get all the way across the park. And of course, they're, you know, strictly enforcing the fast pass times now. So I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, there's no way. You know, with judging with the crowds the way they were, I just wasn't going to make it. So it killed me to give that up.
Oh, man. Ouch.
I really wanted to ride the ride. Raiders of the Lost Ark is like my favorite movie of all time. So I have a very big soft spot in my heart for Indiana Jones, and I just didn't get to see it.
Yeah, see, I've been told that's my wife's one must-do on this entire Disneyland trip.
Okay.
Is Indiana Jones. She insists. It's got to be. So.
And I've heard great things about it. Everybody says it's better than its counterpart, Dinosaur,
right?
Which I believe. And it killed me to give it up. On the other hand, not all my kids wanted to ride it. So somebody would have been left standing outside anyway. So it might have been better for the family that they got to ride Radiator Springs again, which they loved.
Right, right.
So I guess in the category of taking one for the team, I guess it works out. But it sure hurt.
Yeah, not when you generally want to volunteer to take.
No.
All right, so you missed your Indiana Jones return time. Does that mean you hung out in DCA for World of Color, or did you go ahead and head back to Disneyland anyway?
No, we hung out in California Adventure because I knew that at dusk they turn on the neon in Cars Land. It's kind of a little magic thing they do.
Right, and almost like a castle lighting ceremony.
Right, and it's not a big deal. They don't announce it. They don't publicize it a whole lot. It's just one of those little touches. And it was pretty cool. They play the same song, the 50s song from the movie, and there's no warning. It just starts playing, and then they just start lighting up the neon in Cars Land. So I doubt it was as spectacular as Indiana Jones. I might still be bitter, but we were glad we got to see it. It was a nice little touch.
Uh-huh.
So we enjoyed that. And then my kids ended up, we walked past the Grizzly River Run, the rapids ride there.
Yeah.
And the wait there was only about 15 to 20 minutes. So we said, hey, why not? They don't have this in Florida, or it's themed differently anyway. And so my wife and the kids got on that and rode Grizzly River Run, and they really enjoyed that one. So, again, I took one for the team. I never got to ride it, but the kids enjoyed it. So we had that going for us, which was nice.
Yeah, that works. That works.
So I think by that time it was time to try and line up for World of Color.
Okay. So give me an idea of approximately where you were in the sort of standing areas for World of Color.
Well, we got a ticket to go to the blue area, which, you know, they have basically it's a huge patio right on the ocean, or not the ocean, the lagoon, that overlooks the show. So if you're facing the big Ferris wheel as you're going to watch the show, we were on the left side, which is where the blue area is.
Okay.
And basically it's a cattle call. They tell you to line up at 8:45 an hour ahead of time, but people will be there an hour and a half ahead of time.
Of course.
So, you know, by the time my kids and my wife got off the rapids ride, it was getting on 8:45, about an hour and a half, and I was watching the crowds line up going, oh, crap, we're going to be stuck with way in the back.
Right.
So I, you know, hurried them up there as fast as I could, and we got in line. And then when they started taking the tickets to let us in, we moved in. Basically, I'll summarize the World of Color experience like this. The show is pretty fun to watch. It's got some really neat effects, and I'm glad I saw it. The viewing area really is awful.
Okay.
And I hate to say that because I love Disney, but we didn't enjoy the experience waiting for the show at all. You basically get crammed in there. They had a ton of space on this patio area that was roped off as a reserved section. I don't know exactly who it was reserved for, whether it was for the people that bought the dining package that includes it,
right,
or something along those lines. But there were a lot of, and there's already a lot of space taken with gardens and stuff that you can't stand in. So we were basically crammed all into, it felt like one side of the viewing area, just in this narrow aisle where you could get maybe, you know, 8 to 10 rows of people. You have about 3 square inches of personal space. It was hard to even sit down on the pavement because you're that packed in.
Right, right.
And the cast members kept coming by and asking us to move in tighter because we were straining against the ropes of the reserved area where nobody was. And we couldn't figure that one out.
Okay.
I was just sitting like, where do you want me to go? I could already tell you what deodorant this other guy's wearing. So it's that was not fun. You know, you're packed in there. There are tiers on the patio, but it's not all steps. So if your kids are any shorter than 6'5", they're probably not going to see anything.
Okay.
So that was part of the reason to get there early is because you want to get to the front of the rope
right.
to have your kids to have any chance at all of seeing anything.
Yeah, see, I've been really seriously looking at going ahead and booking that dining package just mm-hmm. because, this is exactly what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah, and our experience was, I don't know who exactly all those reserved areas were for, if it was all for dining package or if, you know, the I don't know if the Chicago Cubs were in town and they had all that space for them. But it seemed like the vast majority of the viewing area was all reserved and we couldn't touch it. And even when they got to the actual showtime an hour later, it looked to me like there was still plenty of space in there where if we could have just spread out, it would have made for a lot better experience. But instead, you're just trying to rely on the kindness of strangers, which is getting harder and harder to find these days. We tried to get our kids the best view we could.
Sure.
But, I think it was their view was limited at best. Even mine was, and I'm about 6 feet tall.
Right.
So, you know, I could see a good piece of it, but it's tough. Definitely tougher on the kids because you can't see. So between that and the long wait of having to stand with barely any personal space, that wasn't a pleasant experience.
Yeah, sounds like that would be rough.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then the next question obviously is, World of Color is all the way at the back of the park.
Right.
So talk about exiting after.
Well, basically, when you're trapped in there, you're at the mercy of everybody else. You can only go at their speed, so it takes a little while. It was pretty orderly, as I remember. You just turn around. They're doing the announcement that the park is now closed, and so they're herding you out to the front of the park. So we just kind of walked out and followed the crowds and didn't really have any trouble. I don't remember that as being particularly painful. Naturally, all the stores are open, so if you want to get a $30 T-shirt, you can still do that.
Okay. Still plenty of opportunities. That's good to know.
Yeah. We had no intentions of finishing, though, because this is our only one day in Disneyland. And Disneyland Park was open till midnight, so we were headed back across the way with a six-month-old.
Yeah.
So, and my other kids are 12, 10, and 8, so it's not like they're really used to staying up very late either, but they were up for it, so.
Okay.
And the reason we did that was because they really, really, really wanted to ride that Matterhorn ride.
All right, so you were going to give it one last shot.
So we gave it one last shot. We got back in Disneyland. We got in line. The wait seemed slightly better than the earlier try, so I want to say like maybe 30 minutes.
Yeah.
This time my wife took the baby because he was kind of falling asleep in the stroller and needed to nurse and all. So, you know, I would help, but the well's dry, so it's better that she does that. And I had the kids in line, and we just kind of moved slowly through, and we got about 10 minutes out from loading onto the ride, and my 10-year-old son had a meltdown.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
It's just from being up too late.
Sure. You know, I mean, up too late and crowded and I'm sure
crowded,
hot by then.
Hot. You've been on your feet walking probably 5 or 6 miles that day. So, yeah, he was done. And he just kept saying he was afraid that when he rode the ride, he was going to have nightmares because of the Yeti.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and I kept trying to tell him, I was like, no, you can do this. You'll be fine. And it's just a, you know, it's just make believe. It's a special effect, you know, pulling out all the dad tricks.
But to no avail.
Well, I tried my best. I said, you know, this is our one chance to ride it. You don't want to regret it. You know, I was trying to gild him.
Like every good parent.
Exactly. You can please remember to spell my name correctly on the Father of the Year form when you nominate me. And anyway, he just wouldn't have it. And so I caught my wife's eye. She had finished nursing the baby and came around to check on us. And I said, can you take him? And a nice cast member came and fished him out of the line and took him back to mommy. So the rest of us could still ride the ride. So we did that. We actually got on and we did get to experience the Matterhorn. So we at least could say we did that. So, and again, we enjoyed the ride. A lot of people complain that it's very jerky.
Right.
And I would say they're right. It is very jerky. I don't know if it's just me and my kids, but we enjoy that. We had a lot of fun with it. So
well, sure. That's where the excitement comes from.
Absolutely. So it was a good ride. We were glad we did it. We were glad we made the effort to get back there and do it and really maximize the day. By the time we got off, it was about 11:15 p.m. and the kids were pretty much shot. So we were pretty close to opening and closing the park. And we still probably didn't see half the attractions there.
Sure. So bottom line, you know, an extra 5 hours worth of driving, the extra budget for two nights in a hotel, and you know, the cost of, you know, even though tickets were you were able to get for free essentially, you know, you still had expenses during the day. You're eating in Disneyland, and that's not cheap. Was it a worthwhile addition to the end of your trip?
I would say yes. Because keep in mind, the alternative was the Mojave Desert. So
Mojave Desert, Matterhorn meltdown.
Right. Yeah, we'll take the meltdown. I think it was a much better way to end the trip. I think the kids enjoyed that a lot more than yet another, you know, national park with some overlooks to go check out in 100-degree weather. Not that they don't enjoy national parks, but again, like I said, after the Grand Canyon, you know, the Joshua trees kind of paled in comparison to that anyway.
Sure.
And they were much more excited about Disneyland. I think just the fact that they got to ride Radiator Springs Racers 4 times, they'll be talking about that for a while. They absolutely loved that ride. Seeing some of the differences, the Cars Land, the California Adventure theming, the different versions of the rides at Disneyland, I think it was all worth it. Even though it didn't work out 100% the way we'd hoped, it was definitely worth the effort. The only downside, I'd say, were the crowds. It was a pretty hot day. I think it got up to 92. And one problem with Disneyland is most of the queues for the rides are outside.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of shade, and there's not a whole lot of air conditioning. So I'm sure that works great for at least 80% of the year, but the day we were there, it was tough.
Yeah, I can see that.
On the plus side, you can endure the Tiki Room because you can get a Dole Whip and take it inside.
Which is always a bonus.
So, and we actually did do that. That was one of the things I forgot to mention. But they had a huge line for the Dole Whip stand, stretching back around the corner. But if you actually got into the queue for the Tiki Room, then you could go on the other side of the counter and to a much shorter line to get your Dole Whip. So
they essentially bribe you
right to
go to the Tiki Room.
Exactly.
By offering you a shorter line for Dole Whip.
And given that it's air conditioned in there, it seemed like a small price to pay to sit through the Tiki show.
I can see that.
Basically, I still have no idea what the show's about. I kind of tuned out, but I was sitting in air conditioning, eating a Dole Whip, and I was very happy.
And who wouldn't be, really?
Yeah. You know, you got the Dole Whip. What more do you need?
All right. Well, that sounds great. Well, you know, before we leave your trip behind, any last thoughts, tips, tricks, things that somebody who hasn't done Disneyland before should absolutely know before experiencing Disneyland, coming from the perspective of a Disney World veteran?
Let's see. Well, as I mentioned, all the queues, or most of them, are outside. So be prepared to be in the sun. You know, get your sunscreen out. If you're like me and very pale skinned, you only come in two colors, you're gonna need the sunscreen and a hat.
Yeah, white and extra crispy.
Yeah. I'd say you know, the time of year is gonna affect the crowds, obviously. You know, Disney parks, I always have to laugh at people that go to Disney and then complain about crowds because they're the most popular tourist attractions in the world. So if you go and don't expect crowds, then I'm not sure what you're looking for.
Right.
You know, so I'd say if you want to experience everything there, you probably need at the very least 2 days. You'll probably need 3 if you want to do everything.
Right.
But, you know, there was just, we knew going in that with 1 day, there was no way we were going to see everything there is to offer.
Right.
So,
and
yeah.
It sounds like, with the exception of the Indiana Jones, you know, mishap, mm-hmm. you really did manage to prioritize and hit what you really wanted and get to see what you wanted to see.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we did see what we wanted to see. I think, Indiana Jones is probably the only regret I have, that I didn't get to get on that one. So,
all right. Well, Mark, thanks so much for sharing with us about this trip. It sounds like you had a great whirlwind day at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And look forward to talking to you again about the next one.
Absolutely. We enjoyed it. And if I can offer one more tip, as we left the next day, we suffer from DDP, or Disney Departure Procrastination. And so naturally we went back to Downtown Disney before we headed up the road.
Oh,
and
okay.
there's a place called Ralph Brennan's Jazz Kitchen.
Yes.
And they have an express counter there that's open in the mornings, and you can get beignets for breakfast there.
Nice tip.
I think that we might have gotten like 10 of them for 10 bucks or something like that.
Okay.
It's basically a bag of fried dough and powdered sugar.
And how can you go wrong with that?
Get that in your coffee and you're good to go. So we ate breakfast there, and the beignets were excellent. And even after they were gone, we had a bag of powdered sugar, which my kids were only too happy to just scoop fistfuls into their mouth.
Oh man, so, I already feel sorry for the clerk who had to clean that rental car.
If you look down at the tables underneath we were eating outside on the patio, and it looked like a powdered sugar man had been murdered there. Let's put the crime scene tape up. So we did that. That was a good breakfast. We wandered the Grand Californian just to see another place we'll never get to stay, and you know, just marvel at the lobby. So we tried to fill our time as best as we could.
Sure. No, and that's a good point, is that there are some other things at Disneyland to see that don't necessarily require you to go into the park that are worth your time.
Sure.
You know, and when you're in a situation like you were in, where, you know, this was sort of an add-on to a much bigger trip, those are some ways to get some extra value out of the fact that you're there
right.
without having to spend money on another day's worth of tickets.
Right. Right, and we avoided hitting on the road and going home, too. So,
which is always important at the end of vacation.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks again, and I look forward to talking to you about the next one.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. Glides up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal.